This is the Territory Story Podcast News Bites. Thanks to Opie Dennis Digital Marketing, your local digital marketing agency.
Hi there, welcome to you. Thanks for listening. This is the Territory Story Podcast News Bites. I'm Peter Gowers. I trust and I hope that your week is travelling along nicely. Let's get now to the heart of news in the NT and chat with Chris Walsh, the editor of the NT Independent. G'day, Walshy.
Hey, Pete. Good to see you again.
It's good to see you too, as it always is. News Bites, of course, is this little opportunity just to check in with you, see how the week's going, and see what's making news. Of course, this week, we're talking about the police minister again. Unfortunately, again, for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah, Pete, look, this is another kind of one of these integrity tests that this government's going through, or I'd call it a scandal. But yeah, that's right. Today, we've broken the story here about some now deleted Facebook posts that Brent Potter had shared around for a number of years over a six-year period between 2013 and 2019. They were unusual. They, you know, in which he quoted Nazis, he praised Putin, he permitted the casual use of the N-word amongst family members, and he shared a link to a video about how to, quote, destroy the Black Lives Matter movement. All of this, of course, calling into question his claims last week and even into this week earlier, that he does not tolerate racism, that he and his colleagues don't tolerate racism. And then you see the racist nature of these texts kind of contradicting what he's claimed there. So, yeah, as you can imagine, the story's gone off here today. It was all over all the other media as well. Potter had said, like, these clips or these posts, you know, we'll get into all this in greater detail on the weekend because, you know, there's more coming and more will come out before the weekend. But these were, I don't know how you really explain these except Potter decided that he was going to do it. Now, you got to keep in mind that these posts were up for the number of years. And then in 2022, when he was handpicked by former Chief Minister Natasha Files to be the candidate to replace Gunner and Fannie Bae, that's when his social media got deactivated. And we knew about the LinkedIn stuff, but now, you know, we recently obtained these posts from Facebook that went missing as soon as he was pre-selected. So it was clear that either the party knew about it and they didn't want these getting out, or he knew about it and didn't want the party to know about it, and he took the action. But I would suggest that the party probably did vet him to some degree, and that, you know, they would have found this, should have found this. And like this political science professor that we spoke to said that posts such as these would be red flags for political parties when vetting the candidates, because it could cause reputational risk to the party. And she also expressed surprise that somebody who made these posts would be pre-selected as a candidate. And in fact, because it's the NT, later promoted to a ministry, and of course, a very important one.
Yes.
With police. So, you know, further to that, some of these posts here were, you know, it was odd for sure, and certainly racist. And so, Potter now is trying to explain this. He said that they were satirical humor. I mean, some of this stuff, like he shared a post from the Australian Tea Party in 2014, and that said, celebrating Putin's policy that Russia does not need minorities. Minorities need Russia, and they wouldn't be granted special privileges. It was prefaced with, "This is not a joke." However, he seemed to think this was all very humorous and satirical. On December 31st, 2014, shared a link to an online article by an American news outlet entitled, "It's Time to Arrest Ultra-Orthodox Jews Who Delay Flights Over Seating." Now, we've saw that. He prefaced that too, by the way, writing, "Wow, what a thought." We've seen that post. It was not satirical at all. It was, in fact, a post saying that these Jews should be arrested for practicing their religion. And so the Jewish Congress here has come out, Executive Council, today and been very harsh in condemning Potter for his anti-Semitic comments. But, you know, he's claimed he's 36 years old, right? Like, we got to understand this. He's saying, oh, these are posts I made 8 to 10 years ago. So, yeah, okay, you're still very much an adult at 26. Anyway.
Your brain's fully formed at 26.
Well, yeah, we would hope so. Potter refused to answer our questions, including if the party was aware of them. But he did send us this statement where he claimed that they were satirical, that they, quote, do not define my views on any subject. And then this is where he got himself in some trouble, though, Pete. So he continues on here and he says, as a defense veteran who served 15 years. Oh, by the way, it's all of a sudden 15 years. When he was a candidate 2 years ago, it was 10 years. But now he's got five more years.
Yeah.
He said, I use social media as a way to connect with others who have been through similar experiences. And that included sharing military themed cynical and satirical humor that would not be understood by those who haven't served. He then claimed, in my 20s, I, like many people that age, have done things on social media that I regret and I would never do again with the benefit of hindsight. So I don't even get that. So there's two different things here. He's claiming that he regrets it. But on the other hand,
throwing everything at it, Chris, hoping that something will stick.
Well, and I'll tell you what stuck with some veterans that we've spoken to today is that they don't want to be roped into this. They're saying, we don't condone what. And then there was two of them that we've spoken about or spoken to came out pretty harshly saying, look, we don't share racist posts and stuff. That's not something that veterans do. Now, the other thing that he's claimed about that too, if he says he was in there for 15 years, a lot of these posts, and we're following this angle up, a lot of these posts were made while he was serving with the ADF, apparently. Now, that may have breached social media policy of the ADF as well. So we do have some questions into them. There's a lot more to come on this, Pete, and including another story that we'll have up and be able to talk about on the weekend. But and we'll see. Look, I can tell you right now too, I don't know when this is going to come out, but Thursday morning he's now saying he's going to hold a press conference. So it's Wednesday late here now, but Thursday morning he's apparently going to hold a press conference and address some of these issues. It's going to be interesting. I mean, I think a lot of people here, including Rob Lamley, calling for him to resign. So we'll see if that's what is in that press conference.
Mate, I look forward to talking to you about that story in detail on the weekend edition. And when I read that story and when I read some of his quotes, I was gobsmacked at the guile of the character to make those comments last week about how anti-racism he was, and then to have this happen less than 7 days later. I really, really want to talk to you about this in detail and pick apart some of the utter BS that he's trying to spread out there to, again, get himself out of something that he shouldn't be able to get out of.
Yeah, that's instead of accepting responsibility and doing the honorable thing. And that's what, the pressure's on. Exactly. The pressure's on the chief minister right now, too, because she's backed them. And we didn't expect that. You expected decisive leadership, and we didn't see that.
This is yet another test for her, which has come back to back to back from several others that I think we can both say so far have not been successes. Mm. Let's see if she can turn this into a success in some way. Mm. Chris, let's talk about someone else who also claims not to be racist or tolerating racism in any way that we couldn't actually talk about last week by name, although probably worst kept secret. But now we can say more about someone who is also embroiled in controversy.
Yeah, Peter, like I said, we'll get into this too in more detail on the weekend. But yeah, look, on Friday afternoon, a couple of explosive revelations in the coming out of the coronial inquest into the death of Kumanjai Walker, and one of them being that the police commissioner Michael Murphy was in fact the senior officer that Zach Rolfe accused of making or racially abusing staff at a Chinese restaurant in Alice Springs. Now, what we didn't know, the suppression order went on him right away. He fronted up to a media conference, remember, a press conference, the next morning and pretended like it wasn't him. And I had asked those questions around that to him about himself, and we couldn't say anything. But he's the one who got his lawyer to put the suppression order. At any time, he could have come forward and said, look, it's me, and this is what, and I'm going to refute these claims. But he didn't do that. So what happened on Friday late afternoon was that this letter from the ICAC was tendered to the inquest. So we got to see that. Now, what the ICAC found was that Michael Murphy, the anti-police commissioner, was too drunk in a Chinese restaurant to recall if he had racially abused staff. The ICAC then determined that the it's not in the public interest to pursue this complaint any further. We were just left like, okay, and we've read this this little one or two page letter that Riches had handed in to the coroner, and you got to think that this guy's not doing his job here. It's quite clear that that some things happened here, and it's just classic Riches, even contradicting himself. He had said that Murphy was too intoxicated to recall complaining about restaurant service or saying words to the effect of, quote, "I wonder if this is because of what we did to them in Vietnam." He was mad about the Chinese service, allegedly. But Richard said he does not deny that it was said. In the event that Murphy did make the comment, he has expressed his embarrassment and remorse. He then says that it's not in the public interest to pursue it any further. Despite finding that it was so serious when he heard Rolf make the allegation that he jumped up and sprung into action and ordered an investigation. Now this 3-day investigation determined that the incident allegedly occurred. This is the great detail. He did sometime between 97 and 2003 during a party at a since closed Chinese restaurant in Alice Springs with a number of then police officers in attendance. Murphy was too intoxicated, has no recollection of saying the racist comments at some point. Murphy and other police left the party, Riches concluded. Cannot determine whether that departure was a consequence of being asked to leave by restaurant staff or a consequence of a decision by one of the police in attendance. Murphy has a recollection of being asked to leave the restaurant, although cannot recall the reason.
Sure.
Yeah, and then he says at the end that he said something about if it he said, given the conflicting versions of events, because he talked to one other person or something who said, oh yeah, it was that, and then changed their story. So he said, given this conflicting versions of events and the fact that this incident occurred at least 21 years ago, if at all. But like Murphy just said that it did occur, and Riches is saying if it occurred at all.
It's a perfect storm, Chris. A couple of words that come to mind are gutless and weak.
Mm-hmm.
And the counter to that, though, is we all now have the most magnificent excuse if we ever need to get out of anything, because we can just say, I can't be accountable. I was too drunk to remember. So
I know. Like, that's really got to be the question that's asked to Murphy, is like, would you accept that if you're arresting somebody for a crime and they say, I was too drunk, you know?
That will become a defense in court.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, because that's the highest ranking police officer in the Northern Territory has pulled that rabbit out of the hat as an excuse for not fronting up for consequences for something that they may or may not have done.
Mm.
But as a result now, too drunk to remember. Yeah. That will become standard in the ENT.
Yeah. No, it's ridiculous. Okay. And Riches has let it get to that point here. He clearly didn't do this properly. And anyway, we'll talk about that more. We'll have more details on that on the weekend too.
Yeah, and just lastly, Chris, quickly before we let you go, frightening news really to come out of Alice Springs Hospital from last weekend.
Yeah, the CLP opposition health spokesman, Bill Yan, telling media the story that apparently an armed man allegedly attempted to enter the hospital, the Alice Springs Hospital, over the weekend, forcing workers to barricade themselves inside while waiting more than 40 minutes for the police to arrive. They call those code blacks, apparently. And so Bill Yan had actually requested, I think a couple months ago, a breakdown of all the code blacks that have happened at hospitals across the territory. He wasn't provided with that information by the government. And he says now that, given that this happened on the weekend again, he said either the Labor government's being evasive or they're being incompetent by not being able to provide this data. We need to provide safer workplaces for our healthcare professionals across the territory with such crucial data or without such crucial data, how can we hope to enhance and refine our healthcare services? Yeah, so we're not sure of the frequency. The government won't tell us the frequency of these code blacks. Health Minister Selena Yubo said that additional measures are being implemented by the government to improve the safety of healthcare service staff in the NT. Yeah, okay. You know, this seems to be like it's happening more frequently, and you just hear reports sometimes of things going on in hospitals. Yeah, so, but the government's suppressing that, so we don't know how frequently it happens, but certainly a scary ordeal for those healthcare workers, and I imagine people in the hospital when an armed man comes Absolutely. In. Yeah, so we'll see where that goes here now, but yeah, certainly alarming.
Absolutely. The government's always introducing additional measures. That doesn't matter what you talk about. And in breaking news, we're also looking into the origin of the name Code Black and just seeking out any potential racist undertones of that one as well, aren't we?
I think you tied it all in there, but yeah, I think that was on everyone's mind. Wait a second, the code, what? And who's involved in this exactly? So, yeah. We'll try and get you some more answers on that for the weekend.
Sounds good. Thanks, Chris. I'll catch you on Weekends with Walshy.
All right. We'll see you then.
That was Chris Walsh from the NT Independent. Weekends with Walshy back again on the weekend. We'll release that Saturday morning. And we'll catch you again next week for the Territory Story podcast News Bites.
That was the Territory Story News Bites for this week. Thanks to Opie Dennis Digital Marketing, your local digital marketing agency.